Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Boddinyana Great Southern here in Albany, Western Australia. My name is Venerable Mudu. Today is Thursday, the 2nd of July, 2020, and it's 20 minutes to 9 in the morning on this beautiful day here in Ellica, which is a kind of a rural suburb of Albany, which is about 4.5 hours drive south of Perth from Ajahn Brahm's monastery in Serpentine. So we're getting close now to the entry to the rains, or the rains period for the monks, the 3 months rains retreat. We're having our celebrations on Sunday coming, having a group of our supporters here in Albany and around the Great Southern. So actually we look after the whole of the Great Southern, so that's Denmark, Mount Barker, and a lot of the surrounding towns there as well. 13, I was going to keep an eye on the time. So, 42, okay. So, yeah, today might be the last talk for a little while. I believe that the monks will probably stop delivering these Corona Dharma daily talks. And so if you want to if you want to hear me speak, you'll have to come all the way to Albany, and then you'll be able to see me do Friday night talks. So we've decided to continue the Friday night talks here in Albany. Just to kind of keep the community well fed in the Dharma. So what else was I going to say? So yes, so thank you very much for those of you all around the world and all around Australia that have been listening to these the talks that I've done a small handful of them already. So thank you for your support, watching. Today I wanted to talk about a topic that we talked about on Friday night, the last talk we had here in Albany. This is a topic about, it kind of fits in with the Buddha's Eightfold Path and the part of that called right speech. So right speech, you know, talking about the right things and saying things that are kind. I mean, for those of you who are Westerners, I don't know if this applies as much if you're Asian, but my mum would always say, don't say anything at all unless it's going to be something nice. Or if you haven't got something nice to say, then don't say anything at all. And that's quite a Buddhist saying, really, because it fits in very, very well with right speech. It really isn't worthwhile saying anything unless you have something nice to say. And I remember my mum saying that, and then to us three boys, me and my two brothers, I don't know if we took much notice back then. Certainly probably just thought it was just mum telling us off when we kind of said something nasty to one of the other brothers. But there is something in that, because when you do say something not nice, something mean to somebody, it does cause them hurt. And even sometimes in jokes as well, when you're joking around, you really got to be careful what you say, because you can hurt people's feelings. And it also hurts yourself as well, because when you kind of say something that's unkind and it comes from a mind that is trying to hurt the other person with harsh words, then it leaves a residue, it leaves a stain in your mind. And this is where it doesn't help your meditation, because all of these negative things in your life, they add up, and they tend to hang around when you come to sit down and meditate. It may not be those specific instances of unkind words, thoughts or actions towards others that come up in your meditation, but like I said, it leaves a residue, a stain on your mind, a darkness, a dark cloud, and that doesn't help meditation very much. So to illustrate this, there's quite a well-known story. Some of you might have heard of this. I heard it from Ajahn Brahm, and I think Ajahn Brahm said he heard it from Ajahn Chah. And it is called the chicken plucking ceremony. So the story goes, came about through a young man in the village just got married, and his to his beloved wife, who he cherished very much, very dearly, thought the world of her. But for some reason, they must have had a small argument, and some unkind words came out of his mouth, directed towards his newly wedded wife. And she got very upset, and she cried, and then the man realized he had said some nasty things and wished that he could somehow undo them. So he knew of this wise monk, Ajahn Chah, and thought, if I go and see Ajahn Chah, he'll be able to help me. He'll have some sort of solution to this so I can undo the wrongs and make everything right. And as if this these unkind words I said to my wife will go away. So he went to see Ajahn Chah. And he's a Thai monk. He's actually the Thai monk that was Ajahn Brahm's teacher, and also responsible for bringing, teaching all the other Western monks that you'll see all around the world wearing robes of this colour, a Thai forest tradition. So we hold Ajahn Chah in very high reverence in our tradition. So he went to see this fellow. Went to see Ajahn Chah. Ajahn Chah. He explained the story to Ajahn Chah, told him how upset he was that he'd said unkind words to his wife, and was worried, was concerned that maybe she might leave him, because seeing this kind of nature in him that he didn't want her to see. Ajahn Chah, wise monk, said, "Don't worry, I can make all of this. I can sort this out for you. You really want to undo this?" These unkind words you said to your wife. And then I have a special ceremony that we can do that will undo everything you've said, and it will be as if nothing had ever happened." And this bloke got really excited. He said, yes, I'd love to do that. What do I need to do?" And Ajahn Chah said, "Well, you need to follow my instructions very, very clearly, very specifically. Follow all the things that I say. And don't miss a single thing. You have to follow it exactly to the word, to the letter." And the guy said, for sure, no worries. So Ajahn Chah said, "The first thing you need to do on your way home after you leave here, you need to stop at the markets. And at the markets, you need to buy a chicken. And one of these dead chickens, you know, that you have for dinner. And on the way home, you need to pluck all of the feathers out of the chicken. Don't miss a single feather. Pluck all of the chicken's feathers on the way home, and then pop the chicken in the fridge, and then come and see me the next day with the chicken." And so Ajahn Chah said, "Make sure you follow those rules exactly as I say, otherwise this ceremony won't work and you won't be able to undo those words, unkind words that you said to your wife." So that's what he did. He went home. On his way home, he stopped at the markets, bought a chicken, plucked every single feather from that chicken, put it in the fridge. The next day, grabbed the chicken from the fridge, went to see Ajahn Chah and told him what he had done. Ajahn Chah said, "Very good. You followed all of my instructions to the T." So that's part one of the chicken plucking ceremony. Now this, I'm going to tell you now, is part two, and you need to follow this even more importantly. You need to follow this exactly as I say, otherwise this ceremony won't work and you won't be able to undo those unkind words you said to your wife. So Ajahn Chah said, this is part two, this is what you need to do. Go back home after you leave here, leave the temple, go on your way home, go following exactly the same path that you left yesterday, and pick up every single one of those feathers. And once you've picked up every single one of those feathers from that chicken, insert each feather back in exactly the same hole where it came from. And that's when this guy looked at Ajahn Chah and said, "Are you crazy? That's impossible. I could never do that." And that's when Ajahn Chah said to him, "Exactly." He said, "Just as the same as you've said those unkind words that left your mouth when you spoke them to your wife, once they left your mouth, there is no way you can put those words back in your mouth. Exactly the same as the chicken. Once you pluck those feathers out, and there's so many of them and they all blow away, there's no way you're going to get them back into that chicken. So really, there is no way to undo unkind words. The only thing you can do is not say them in the first place." So that was the lesson, the through that story, through Ajahn Chah, about saying unkind words and right speech, not actually saying them in the first place, which linked back to what my mum told me as a child. If you don't have anything nice to say, then don't say it at all. So these are some of the things that you might not think has anything to do with meditation, but it has a lot to do with meditation, because these sorts of unwholesome actions leave a stain on the mind, on your own mind, and it becomes a hindrance for you for living a happy life, and you have this cloud over your head. And then when you come to sit meditation, those sorts of black clouds over your head aren't particularly helpful. So what do? You forgive yourself for these things that you've done in the past and unkind words you've said to others. And you may not have, if you can, you can go and see those people and ask for forgiveness, apologize to them. But if you can't, you just do that in your mind and you forgive yourself as well. And you just start afresh. So there's some tips for meditation and how right speech can actually, help your meditation. So speaking of meditation, we'll do some meditation now. Just a very short meditation. 43:53. So only about just a little over 15 minutes of meditation. And that'll be half an hour, which is all this camera records. So we will start with the meditation now. So get yourself nice and comfortable. So I'm just going to readjust my body. Today we're very blessed here. We've got a lovely, lovely rainy, foggy day down on the valley there. And I took some images beforehand, which I'll try and edit into this video. You see down there the lovely place we have to meditate here at Bodhinyana Great Southern. So once you're comfortable, first thing you do is close your eyes. With your eyes closed, that's one of the sense doors shut down. But take a moment to see what you see with your eyes closed. What stimuli is your mind using to create imagery in your mind? Have a quick look. for me, with the eyes closed, it's just like a, it's like a, it's like it symbolizes a starting point of my meditation. And just by closing my eyes, this huge weight gets lifted off my shoulders of all the duties and busyness I have here at this new monastery. Close my eyes. I'm no longer the boss monk, head monk, abbot, whatever you want to call it. Well, there's nobody here really, so I just let all those identities and ideas of self and sense of I, just kind of let them go for the next 15, 20 minutes. So that first part of meditation for me, closing the eyes, brings up a lot of joy. And then the other senses, you can kind of have a quick look at those as well. Sense of taste, sense of smell, just noticing what's there. Not much going on there, so they're kind of there's no sensory stimuli there, but still kind of acknowledge them. Then move on to the next, the five senses. A sense of sound. And here there's not a lot of sounds at the moment. We've got the fridge next door because we've got our meditation hall and kitchen. It's all in the one kind of place. So we're only just new starting off here. But also in the background, there's the hum or the deep drone of the waves crashing on the 120 meter high cliffs that are only 500 meters to my left. So between us, between here and the ocean, there's only 500 meters of state forest. You kind of hear that droning sound of the ocean, the waves crashing against the cliffs. So I take a moment to notice those pleasant sounds. And then moving on to the body, the last of the five senses. Just do a quick body sweep meditation. First, just making sure my body's comfortable. It's not too bad. Just moving from my feet. Just noticing the sensations, any tension or tightness, so just quickly move through there because we don't have a lot of time, so just a quick body scan. Most of my discomfort is always in my kind of knees and feet and ankles. So they're as comfortable as they can be. Move my way up through the rest of the body, the legs, through the tummy. Tummy's happy. I ask my tummy, are you happy? Says yes, no complaints there. Then move to my breath. Source of a lot of joy from my meditation. Buddha himself using breath meditation and speaking quite a lot about it. So why not, no point reinventing the wheel looking for other meditation techniques. I always go with the breath. I don't latch onto the breath. I let the breath come to me. This is obviously something Ajahn Brahma's taught me. You don't go searching stuff out. Just wait for it to come to you. You just be kind and calm and peaceful. Allow things to be. And the breath eventually will come to you. So I move from my breath through the rest of my body, up to the shoulders, down my arms, up into my, and lastly up into my neck. Finally up into the top of my head. Noticing any sensations in my eyes and then around my mouth. with the body as comfortable as it can be. We can pop the body down. And let go of the body. And very gently, very kindly, move our attention, our awareness, inside, into the mind. What do you see in your mind? What does it look like? And how does it feel? Job as a meditator is to just hang out with the mind, be a friend to the mind, allow the mind to just be, allow it to do what it feels it needs to do without you getting in the way. Your job is to be like a silent observer, not getting involved. Allowing things to be. However your mind wants to be. If your mind is busy, then just watch it be busy. When you bring that sort of kindness to your mind, after a while, mind will just become naturally relaxed and peaceful by itself. It does that because you're not trying to force it, you're not trying to control it into being calm. Mind just sees you being like a friend. It doesn't want to resist and do the opposite to what you're hoping it would want to do, which is to be calm. So bring this kindness to your mind. And just allow your mind to be. So for those of you who may have not meditated before, this is meditation. It's essentially hanging out with your mind. allowing it to be, not forcing it, just observing, just watching. Meditation is not the end result, whether you got peaceful or you didn't get peaceful, or you got into this state of meditation or that state of meditation. No, it's simply hanging out with your mind, allowing it to be, allowing the peace to just find you all by itself. For me, when that peace comes to visit me, it can come in several ways. One of the ways it first appears to me is in this imagery that comes to the mind. Sometimes we call these images or lights in the mind nimittas. They can be varying different intensities, but usually for me, they start off as these very peaceful, swirling, different intensity, going from light to dark, different shades of light. Pleasant to be in the presence of. It brings this sense of peace with it, which in itself is quite delicious. Another way the peace comes to visit me through a method that most people have heard of called breath meditation. But it's less of me doing the breath meditation. It's more about the breath coming to visit me. So I notice after a while, when my mind becomes peaceful, this breath comes to visit me. Also, this breath is delicious. It's very smooth, it's very light, it's very silky, it's very effortless. Extremely pleasant to be around, and it's always accompanied by peace. Ajahn Brahm calls this visiting from the breath in this way the beautiful breath or the delightful breath. When the breath comes to visit you in this way, your task is just to be with it like a friend, but to value it. Don't walk past it looking for something else. This is such a wonderful, great gift. The beautiful breath comes to visit you. Just hang out with it. Just enjoy the bliss that comes with it. And when you do this, you have this level of contentment and joy that comes up, then this can come all by itself, a tipping point for other deeper stages of meditation. These aren't stages of meditation you go looking for. You just hang out with the breath and let those other meditation stages come to you. So now we're getting close to the end of the meditation. to ring the gong 3 times. After the sound of the 3rd gong, please come out of meditation. So thank you everybody once more from around Australia and around the globe for sharing these meditation sessions with me, and may you have a wonderful day. And if you're devoting a little bit more time to your practice during these coming 3 months of the Rains Retreat, then I wish you all the best. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.